Psalm 144. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. O Lord, what is man that you care for him, the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemies. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On the ten-stringed lyre I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword. Deliver me and rescue me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the peoples whose God is the Lord. So let's just pray for Keith as he comes to speak to us now. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom to read it openly in this public place. And thank you for Keith, who you have called this morning to come and open this word up to us. Oh Lord, we pray that you would speak into our hearts through the words that Keith will speak, but not that we might just hear, but that we might learn and apply the message that you have for us this morning. Open our ears and our hearts, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Going to be looking at this psalm, and I'm hoping to bring home to you some of the principles that come out of it. Psalm 144, David's own psalm about his life. What can it teach us is the question. How do you live your life? How do you live your life on a daily basis? Where do you begin? So when you want to know what to buy, or when you've got to go somewhere, how you cope with something that's happened, when you're afraid that something might happen, the way you begin with all those things affects everything you do. Where do you begin with your daily life? And this psalm is really about David's daily life. And it was a long time ago and a long way away. Bronze Age kingdom in the Middle East doesn't seem very relevant to us, does it? Can't really imagine yourself in a situation where there are enemy soldiers and foreign adversaries, let alone barns and sheep and oxen and such like. Not many of those in charge really, are there? How do you make this psalm relevant to you? How do you understand? We don't understand things like breach walls and cries of distress and captivity. They're not our experience. They're experience of Christians around the world in some ways, but they're not our experience. What do we do with a psalm like this? And yet, underneath all this that we see in this psalm, underneath all the kingly stress and the political intrigue, there's still a human being, isn't there? There's still David, a real person, a person with emotions and fears and hopes and cares. And this psalm gives you an insight into how he lived and how, therefore, we can live as well. And the difference between how he coped then and how we cope with life now is actually not very great, because we're all human beings, all living in a world full of problems and difficulties and hopes and encouragements and pleasures. So what I'm hoping here is that in this principle of daily living that we see in this psalm, we too can find some help. And here's the three things, the three headings I want you to remember. Number one, look to God. And only then Number two, look at yourself. And then thirdly, look at the problem. It's so easy when something comes up that you look at the problem. And what happens when it does? We tend to look at only the problem. If you look at yourself, you look at yourself and you feel, oh dear, I can't cope. And I'm hoping this morning that by taking these principles and applying them to us, we can understand how we can live life every day. So, first of all, look to God. Look to God, first of all, in the scripture. Help yourself to understand by looking carefully at what the Bible actually says. If you seek the Lord your God, says Deuteronomy, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Is that what you really believe and what you really experience? Do you put that into practice? That's the challenge that we find in the scriptures. And Isaiah 55, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. That's God's promise to you and me, as well as it was to those in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus himself said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. How many times does God need to tell us this? How many times do you need to read it in the scripture? If you're like me, again and again and again. Because unfortunately, we tend to turn our eyes away. And yet, as Peter Glasgow reminded us last week, he is the covenant God, the God who promises he will be as he is. You will always find a God who you can rely on because it's covenant love, determined, purposed, the God who says you can rely on him. That's the thing to get hold of right at the beginning this morning, and that's why we can find this psalm helpful. It's written by David, who is said in the Old Testament and the New. Samuel tells us and Paul tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. I wonder what you get from that. Well, if you look back at David, you remember that he actually had quite a lot of problems. There was the problem with Saul and Jonathan. There was the problem with Goliath. There was the problem with Bathsheba. There was the problem with his own children. I wonder what you take from those things. A man after God's own heart. How can I listen to this man when he was such a mess? And yet, he was messy. But the principle there is that he kept his eyes on God. Life is messy, isn't it? That's what David is talking about at the beginning here. He trains my hands for war. He trains my fingers for battle. This is a war situation in its kind of generality. We're not talking about military war. We're talking about a life in which there are always problems. When Jill said to me this week or recently, why did God let those innocents suffer in Bethlehem when Herod came to kill them? What do you think my answer should have been? I don't have an answer. Do you have an answer? I don't know. There are going to be questions I ask God a lot when I get to heaven. Why did that happen? Why is there so much suffering today in Syria? Why are there earthquakes? Why did a lovely Christian friend of mine drop dead a couple of weeks ago at 70 years old just from a heart attack? Completely unexpectedly. I don't know the answer to those things. I'm in a kind of war zone, in a kind of battle area. There are things in my mind that are coming at me from all directions. Where am I going to begin in this life? The answer, the scripture tells me, is to look to God. Do you remember what Habakkuk said? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. How can you do that? Well, the great testimony of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament is that God is not just a God of problems, not just a God in a war zone. He's a God who blesses too. And I want you to hold on to this morning, to the idea that you have seen God at work in your own life, just in the rain and the sun that comes every day, just in the homes and the families and the friends you have, just when you stand on a hilltop and you wonder at the beauty in front of you. When problems come, you have to hold on to a God who cares. And that's what David was doing here when he said, "He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge." That's the God that we can rely on when all these things are difficult around us. It may be war, it may be battle, but it's still God's promise to us. God is still there. It may be like the sun behind the clouds sometimes, but hold on, God is still there. So, where do we look? To God first. And then, only then, according to this psalm, should we look at ourselves. Look what it says in verse 3 and 4. "Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. They're like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow." How do you feel when you watch the news? How do you feel when you're bombarded with images that you just make you feel so small? The vastness of the universe, the complexity that you see all around you. Even we were just talking about Windows 7 and Windows 10. And you look at it and you think, what on earth is going on here? You feel so small. Look at yourself and realize that you are limited. We're not Superman, even though the men amongst us always want to prove we are. You're not Superman. And the women, you're not Wonder Woman. You're mortal. You're fragile. You're limited. You're finite. That's the way you have to start. How do you go on from there? You look at God first. You look at the world as God's world. I can't live life to the full unless I have God in it. I need God to be there. So, what do I have to say to myself? What are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them? How do I know God cares for me? Well, I've already listed a whole number of things. But what about Jesus? What about the fact that God, in all his care for us, actually came to be one of us? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how you might be like a breath or a fleeting shadow, but God came here to be with you? Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Written in 1609, I always amaze when I see the date on that hymn. It means so much to me even now, 300 years later. That's my God, the God who came to me and came as a human being and died and rose again. So David's very conscious of his frailty, very conscious of his life as a breath, a fleeting shadow. And I'm beginning in my 60s to think that he's right. I don't know about those of you who are 40 and under, we'll all feel life goes on forever. And then suddenly you realise at some point or other when you get your pension that it doesn't go on forever. It's a very strange feeling when it happens. But this is what it's all about. What are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them? A breath, a fleeting shadow. And David knew that even though he was 3,000 years ago. God cares for you. He thinks of you. God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that you might not perish, but have eternal life. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus came and died, and if you'd been the only human being in the universe, he still would have done it for you. That's how much you're important, how important you are to God. So, the third principle, after looking to God and looking at yourself, is to look then, and only then, at the problem. God, David had powerful enemies. He talks about liars and deceivers. He talks about the breaching of walls and all these problems that he had as a king. But he also had confidence in God. In verses 9 and 10, I will sing a new song to you, my God. On the 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David. Can I do that? Is the question. Can I look at the problem and then still have the confidence? I might be who I am, fragile, but God is still my God. What happens when there's a broken relationship with someone I love? What happens when something's gone wrong and I can't forgive myself for what's happened? What happens when the world collapses around you, when there's some financial problem or whatever? What happens when people you thought you could trust have let you down? What happens when you've built up hopes and they've been dashed? What happens? I will sing a new song to you, my God. On the 10-string lyre I'll make music to you, to the one who gives victory, who delivers his servants. The way through a problem is not to look at the problem, but to look to God. So, what happens when there are choices to be made? What happens when there are people to be helped? What happens when there are people who are bereaved and people who are drained, people who are unable to make choices? These are the people who need us at this time. We need to be able to go to people and to say, you can trust God. I know. I've been there. I'm alongside you. Or even if we can't be alongside them because we're not like them in that sense, we can still put an arm around their shoulders and still know that God is with us. Look at the problem with God in mind. Look at other people's problems with God in mind. We can sing for them as well. I will sing a new song to you, my God. On the 10-string lyre, I'll make music to you, to the one who gives victory, who delivers his servants. But that has practical effects. It's very easy to talk in theory this morning, and I was trying to think about how this makes a real difference. It may be that you this morning want to be able to cope with a problem that's come. You want to have a difficulty sorted. Well, there's only one place to go. So we have a prayer team. At the end of the service, there'll be people here who are able to listen to you and pray with you. There are Christian brothers and sisters here who will then be able to put an arm around you and to go through the problem with you. That's what it's all about. There are people further away, like the folks we were hearing about in Kurdistan. And we as Christians can do something about it because we can show them that God is the one who cares. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. We, as his people, we as his body here on earth, we can show the truth that we know of this psalm. Looking to God, having a realistic view of ourselves and a realistic view of the problems, we can get alongside and we can be like him who loves us. We've got to show that in all we are and in all we do. So this psalm, written thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away, in a very strange situation to us, still has something for us today. But I would say this to you. It's no use just reading words like this and realizing the truth of them if we don't then go out and show it in all we are and in all we do. Thank you.